Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Well, good morning to you. 908 on KDXU. I'm Andy Griffin. Thanks for tuning in today. Mello is here as well. Hi, Mello. And, I got to turn you on. You there, Mello?
Yes, good morning.
Okay, she's there. All right, we got her. Good. And with me is Donnie Jessup, the mayor of Hilldale City. Hilldale Town, is it a city or a town? It's a city, okay. Donnie, thanks for coming in today. It is the fifth Thursday. We don't have that many fifth Thursdays, but when they come along, we get, different mayors from some of the communities in the area. And Donnie has a compelling story. We're going to talk to her. By the way, she is a shadow of her former self. You've lost a bunch of weight. That's pretty cool. You look great.
Well, thank you for noticing, Andy.
Let's get that microphone a little closer to your mouth, okay. So there we go.
How's that?
Oh, perfect. Yeah. Yeah, you look fantastic.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
I honestly felt, when you came in today, I was like, I know that's Donnie, but I don't know that I would have recognized you on the street. I'd have been like, is that's her? I think it's her, because you've lost a lot of weight. You look great.
Well, thank you. It's this power color red I'm wearing today, I'm sure.
That's right. It's been a couple of years since you were on the show. Mm-hmm. And I really felt like we needed to get you back and have you tell your story again. I know people that listen every day and have for years would say, well, she already told the story. Yeah, but it's been a while. So we would love to hear your really success story of where you came from, how you got where you are now. So let's start first of all with, where did you grow up? Silly question, but.
Okay, I was going to say, Andy, you do not ask for much, do you? We've got like 5 hours to do in 45 minutes, but yes.
You can do it.
So I was born and raised in Hilldale, Utah.
Okay.
Colorado City, Arizona, for those that don't understand that it's a border community, mm-hmm. and it is one community, two different cities. Yeah. Two different states, two different regions. So, but we're raised as one community. I was raised in a beautiful family. I had two moms, a dad. We all worked together. I just loved the family that I grew up in. My community, it was incredible, an incredible place. I could depend on a meal or a spanking from any mom there. I was truly
a meal or
community.
A spanking, one or the other, huh?
If you're out after dark, you were told by any neighbor mom, go home, it's dark. So I was truly raised by a community.
That's
cool. So grateful for that. Things changed in the 90s.
I was going to say, yeah. The idealistic being raised that way was perfect until.
Until, yeah. Yes, things changed with Warren Jeffs moving in. And he took over. Everything changed at that point. Mm. And you know, it's been told many times how families were sent away and community members were sent away. And at that time, my husband at the time and I took our children and we moved far away. We moved so far away, we moved to Santa Clara, Utah.
that's a long ways from Hilldale.
Well, and it was a different world to me.
Yeah.
Being raised and raising my children in a community that was so close-knit and then moving to Santa Clara that was basically out in the world to me.
Yeah.
It was not a life I had known.
And you're how old at this time?
42.
42 years old.
I thought you were going to ask me how old I am now.
No, how old do I look, Andy? You don't look any older than 42 right now.
Oh,
so.
Thank you.
So when you mentioned Warren Jeffs came in or moved in, where was he before that? And I mean, most of us only know that Warren Jeffs was the prophet of the FLDS, and then he went to prison. And after he went to Texas, we don't know a whole lot beyond that. So how did he come to power, and how did he end up in Hilldale, Colorado City?
So he lived in Salt Lake. He was a part of the FLDS in Salt Lake.
Okay.
So this gets complicated, but we were all one group. But there were people that lived in Salt Lake, people that lived in Canada, and people that lived in Hilldale and Colorado City.
Okay.
And so all of the people that lived in Salt Lake moved down to Colorado City and Hilldale in 2002 when the Olympics were coming to Salt Lake.
Did they basically get told to leave Salt Lake?
Yes.
Is that what happened?
Yes.
Okay.
And so we all scooted over and made room for all of those families to move in with us, or we would build them homes.
So when you say all of, how many approximately?
Okay, this is just a guess. And so people that actually know the numbers are going to say, nope, you're wrong.
Yeah,
but
they'll yell at me later.
But, yeah. Yeah, it was about between 4,000 and 5,000 people.
Oh my goodness. So I thought you were going to say 4,000 and 500.
No,
5,000.
No, large families. Wow. A lot of people moved into the area.
That's huge.
And we, as the community that we are, moved over and made room. These were family members to us.
Yeah.
And that's when Warren Jeffs moved into Hilldale. And upon his father's passing in 2000, I have to do the math, 2012.
Okay.
Wait, I'm getting it all wrong. My dates are off. 2002. That's when Warren Jeffs took over.
So you say things change. You had this really idyllic life. And, you know, anybody that, like I've had, you know, back in the 90s, I had experiences mm-hmm. with people who were FLDS, and they all seemed like wonderful people, really, really great people.
Incredible people.
But how did things change then when Warren Jeffs took over right after 2000?
Yeah, so our community, everyone knows in southern Utah and all over the state, like, if you want construction done in a very, like, the very best, mm-hmm. Our motto was Don Tell Done. We worked hard. We took care of each other. We had plays. We had dances. We all went to school. We just had fun. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we would come together as a community and do fruit for the storehouse and raise a big community garden. We were a true community. When Warren come in, he started to split things up. Mm-hmm. There was more of a hierarchy, that sort of thing. And then it got worse when he started the United Order, and that peeling off that layer of onion is even going into it deeper. But essentially, he judged the people, and this was actually from his prison cell because he was gone. So Lyle Jeffs is the one that carried on with his work, and he judged the people individually, and he would break families apart. He would send families away. Let's just pretend we have a family of 10. We have two moms, a dad, and 7 kids.
Okay.
And one mom was found worthy of being in the United Order, and one mom was found not worthy. Then they couldn't eat together anymore. They couldn't pray together. They couldn't work together. Wow. Those who were worthy had to work together, and those who were unworthy had to work together. So he literally split every family apart in one way or another. And then what happened is we kind of turned on each other. Like, we would look at one another and say, well, you're not worthy, I can't talk to you. Or you are worthy, I can talk to you. So it created this conflict mm-hmm. within ourselves. And that has taken us about 20 years to really work through that and come together. Every person, no matter where they're at in life, they realize that we still love you. No matter what Warren did, that love has won out.
Awesome.
And so here we are. Almost 8 years ago, I became mayor, and in a community that didn't want me there.
Right.
But we were back. We had moved home from Santa Clara, and I didn't go home to be mayor. I went home to help rebuild. And I didn't know what it was going to look like, but I had become a crime victim advocate while I lived in the St. George area. And so I went home with my advocate heart, and I said, I will stand up and I will do things right. And that is what I've been doing for the last 7 years.
How were you received at first? I know the answer, but go ahead.
Okay. So we made it through that first election. I won that first election by a landslide, and I say that tongue in cheek because I won that election by 3 votes.
3. Wow.
So it was a difficult election, but it set Hilldale on a path to recovery and growth.
Now, what do you mean by difficult election first before you go on?
Well, because I was.
Were there threats?
No. Not per se. There was different things. My house was broken into a couple times. Yeah. So there was some fear tactics of, and so my kids were nervous. My mm-hmm. signs, when I put the signs up, there was some profanity written on it, and mm-hmm. I got the devil horns drawn on it, and I was shouted out, you're the devil, why don't you leave, and
wow.
things like that. But, oh my gosh, Andy, it's been so long ago. It's it's hard to go back and even think about it because we've come so far.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the community is such a beautiful community. People often ask, how do we know there will never be another Warren Jeffs go into Hilldale and take over again? And the answer is simple. Private land ownership.
Mm-hmm.
Before, all of the land in Hilldale and Colorado City was under a trust called the United Effort Plan.
Right.
And Warren Jeffs was in charge of that trust, essentially. And so it was owned by the church. And so I would be living in a home that I built and, excuse me, he would send someone over. I'm just going to use he. It wasn't Warren, obviously. He was in prison. It was Lyle. But he would send a crew to our house and say, hey, you're supposed to move. And they would pack us up, move us in the middle of the night.
Wow.
And we'd be living in a different home the next day. And the mastermind behind that was, you don't own anything.
Hmm.
And
this
it
is,
also
this is
created,
a way to show,
right.
Yeah.
It also created insecurity and mistrust.
You are not in control was what they
right.
were telling
you. You are not in control.
We are in control. Mm-hmm. And that, that had to be incredibly frustrating.
Right. So the judge ordered subdivision when we came back into the community. The judge ordered subdivision. We subdivided the land. And then we were able to buy our parcel or buy our house. So we were able to buy the very home that we had built. So now we all own our own land.
That's big.
The value of land out there, I don't even dare say it. I'm going to say it really quiet on the radio. Okay. It's gone so high, it's like, don't go any higher. Like, it's making it so we can't afford the land. But so all the transformation that's happened over these last 15 years is just phenomenal.
Now, if you don't mind me asking, what is the status of the FLDS Church right now, and especially in Hilldale?
In Hilldale, we know there's definitely some members of the FLDS Church. They don't have a meeting house, per se. They're in the community. I know there's still a large portion of FLDS. They're scattered across Utah. They're scattered all over the United States. But there's definitely a following, and they retain those values that they were raised with and the love for the religion that they were raised in. And, you know, even I am so grateful for the ethics and the morals that I was raised with.
For what it was.
Yes,
yeah.
For what it was. Yeah. It was a beautiful, it was so much like the LDS. There was just that one difference of polygamy.
Polygamy.
And so I was raised like a LDS kid. And I'm grateful for that.
I'm going to say these words, these are my words, not hers, but it seems like Warren Jeffs ruined everything.
He did.
Yeah, okay.
These are my
words. You said
he
it
did.
Too. Okay.
But on the other hand, I got to think about this because you can look at it that way, or you can say there was someone that came into our lives that changed everything and it set us in a different direction. And I cannot be grateful enough every day when I wake up, my feet hit the floor and I'm filled with so much gratitude and I'm just so grateful for where we're at. I'm grateful for where our community's at. I'm excited for the future and the things that we're finding and that we can do and the relationships that have been created with the people in the county and the people of the state. I can't stop being grateful. So although it came about in a very hard way and we've gone through a lot in our community, I'm just so grateful.
Is polygamy still being practiced in that community?
In Hilldale?
Hilldale's Colorado City.
Okay, so you can't say it that way because are there polygamists? Yes, there are.
Okay.
Is polygamy generally practiced for all of Hilldale, Colorado City? No, it is not.
No. Okay.
So there's so much, what's the word I'm looking for? So many different groups of people.
Variety, diversity.
It's such a diverse community.
Yeah.
There is... I can just off the top of my head, there's five different denominations out there, and the LDS Church is putting a chapel out there right now. It's a big, beautiful chapel.
That's a pretty big deal.
Yeah, it's a big, big deal.
Yeah.
And so it's like we are such an open community. When I first became mayor, I rebranded the city. It was Southern Utah's Deseret, and then I rebranded to Welcome Home. And there was a very strategic reason for that.
Mm-hmm.
We are living in a community that is completely different than the community it was 20 years ago. So if you never left Hilldale, Colorado City, you're living in a different community even though you never left. Welcome home.
Wow.
If you moved away from the community and you want to come home because that dirt is in our blood, that's our roots, welcome home. If you never lived there, never had anything to do with the community, but you've found out that it's incredibly beautiful and you want to live there, welcome home. We want you here. We are not a closed off society. We are a normal community.
I want to go back to something you said earlier about the United Order and what was happening there. I don't know if you've ever read the children's book. I have grandkids, and we read a book called You Are Special. And it's this cool book about this woodcarver creates a community of wooden people, and they come to life somehow. Anyway, if you're a cool wooden person, they put stars on them. And if you're a not
stars
cool
on one, ours.
Yeah, and they put gray dots on you if you're not cool. And the main character of the book basically comes across a girl, and she has no stars or dots. Oh. And he has dots on him because he's not cool, right? And he said, "Why don't you have anything on you, stars or dots?" And she goes, "Nothing sticks to me." And he said, "Why?" And she goes, "Because I go and meet with Eli, the woodcarver, every night, and he tells me that what they say doesn't matter, what he says matters, and that you are special." And Punchinello, the main character, then he says, "I want to go meet with this woodcarver too." And basically the woodcarver says, "I created you." Sound familiar? A little analogy there. "I created you, and you are special. And it doesn't matter if you have stars or dots, and hopefully you don't care about those things." And it really sounds a lot. I mean, I love this analogy because it fits in with what you're saying. I could see the tension created. You're, you know, these people, well, you're special, and these people, you're not special. You didn't pass muster or whatever. It had to create an incredible amount of tension and hard feelings and even anger in the community.
Yes, it really did. And it was so individual because we had to, like, we were so focused on getting closer to God and keeping sweet and putting things on the shelves that you didn't understand. And so we were, I personally, I'm just going to talk about me and not try to speak for the entire community, but I turned on myself. What's wrong with you that you can't be special enough?
Yeah.
Why can't you get a star?
Why didn't I get a star?
Right. How come you're a gray dot? But you know what? I am a star and I am a gray dot. Or nothing sticks to me. I don't even know. Yeah. I don't know how I slipped through the cracks, but but here I am.
That's awesome.
I wanted to go back, if we can. Sure. You talked about when I became mayor. So we had the election, and I know what
that
you
was
were
eight,
alluding.
Almost 8 years ago.
Yes. And you were alluding to the day that I arrived as mayor the first time.
Yeah.
So I want to tell that story.
I'd love to hear it, yeah.
So when I got there, the door was locked, and they had to let me in, which took a few minutes. I was left outside.
You got elected mayor. You showed up to be mayor, and you couldn't get in.
Right.
Wow.
And so I knocked on the door, and they said, "What are you doing here?" And I said, "Well, I'm the mayor. I've come to go to work." And I honestly didn't know what I was doing there. I'd never been a mayor before.
Yeah.
And they said, "Well, come in and sit in this room." So I went in this room, and then the city manager at the time came in and said, "What are you doing here?" And I said, "Well, I'm the mayor, and I've come to go to work." And he said, "All we need you to do is smile pretty for the cameras and sign when I tell you to sign."
Oh, no.
And that, in that moment, is when I became the mayor. And I hit the desk, and I said, "Change this one."
I can hear Danya going, "Oh, no, you didn't."
Right? It's just a snap of my fingers.
That's right, yeah.
And I very firmly said, "Change just walked through Hildale's door, and we're not doing it that way anymore."
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And so since that, thinking about all of that, change just walked through Hildale's door. There's nothing more scary than change.
Mm-hmm.
And now here we are 7.5 years down the road. And now the change has happened, and we are transforming now. We're there, and every day we are transforming, and we are becoming those leaders, those solid leaders. We are learning, and now we have the strength, the vision, and the know-how to lead and to make good, solid changes.
The other thing I was thinking about with that is, so the community there and the FLDS Church, even the LDS Church, is a very patriarchal-driven society. Mm-hmm. It's men in charge. Mm-hmm. And so you also, besides the whole religion aspect and the way things have always been done and all that, you also, here's a woman walking into what they, in their minds, are going, this is a man's job. Why are you here?
Oh, it wasn't just in their minds. It was in my mind, too.
Really?
I actually remember standing up, and I'm like, where's the old men that are supposed to be doing this job? And that was the training that I had had.
Yeah.
The respect for that is a man's job, and to lead, I look to the men to lead, and it's more like a father figure. And so that's a little battle I've had to do mm-hmm. with myself, like feel solid enough and take enough classes and read enough books and get mentors and ask them questions to learn how to do this job. Mm-hmm. And what I found out is that I already knew how to do it. I just didn't know I knew how to do it.
You didn't know you knew.
I just needed the skills. So that's what I've done, is I've gotten the skills.
Nice. Melo, did you have anything you wanted to ask the mayor before we go? We're going to talk about current Hilldale, what's going on now, and future Hilldale as well. I've got a commercial break coming up, but I wanted to. Sometimes I ignore Melo. She's here.
She
calls screens for us. Of course, if you want to call and talk with Donia and Melo first, just 673-5890. But yeah, Melo, if you had anything on your mind about the past and Donia before we go to break, go for it.
Yeah, I was just wondering how people initially responded to you. I know that those men that were in there, and a couple of those people quit too, from what I remember. Oh, yeah. Like when they're like, oh, wait, she's not backing down. We're quitting. But was the reception, was it like the women kind of like using their voice to kind of actually help get you elected? Or were they kind of the ones fighting against you? What did you kind of
No, it was not segregated men and women. It was a group of we the people that came together and created that change. And it was men and women alike.
Nice.
So the support was, we want the change. We want representation for the people that are living here now, not representation of people that used to be living there. Mm. So it was actually a conglomeration of many. Mm-hmm. And then there were people, the community was as scared as I was. Like, if we get her in there, is she going to know how to do it? Is she going to do it right?
Mm-hmm.
Is
yeah.
she going to represent me well? I never ran on being a woman. I still, to this day, won't vote just because they're a woman, or that is not how it works for me.
And it shouldn't in
and
America.
And it shouldn't. Yeah. It should be who can do the job to the very best of their ability.
Exactly.
And that's what we all were looking at. Well, the people that I know were looking at is who can do this job to the best of their ability. And I knew I had the love of mm-hmm. my community and my people, and I knew that I would stand up. I didn't stand up for myself very well, but I know I will stand up for others. And now I've learned how to stand up for myself also. So it's just been a great transformation. And, but it was never, let's get behind the woman.
That's good.
And so I'm really grateful for that. Like, even in all the times I've spoken with people, I've never brought up the gender.
Mm-hmm.
It has never been one of the issues. Now, I'm sure for the people voting, there may have been some people that was like, oh, not such a good
for a woman.
Idea.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But I hope that over the course of these last 7 years, I was able to prove that I'm still talking to everyone. I'm still listening.
Mm-hmm.
I'm taking their advice. And every single person in that community is worth my listening to them. I want to know where they're coming from, what they need. And everyone needs to be heard, not just if you're a woman or if you're a man.
Yeah. You mentioned you won by 3 votes, was yes. it, the first time? How many votes total were there that first time?
It was just over 100. It was actually a community selection because we knew that we had to come together and decide who was going to run against the current incumbents.
Mm-hmm.
And we couldn't split the vote. So we
yeah,
worked
that's
with,
right. That has happened in the past where you got two people that would both win, and so they split the vote, and then the person that shouldn't have won wins.
Right. So it wasn't an actual caucus. It was a community selection. And the lieutenant governor's office at the time, that was Spencer Cox, he sent his team down to help train us how to run an election.
Hmm.
We had never ran like your regular election. It looked like a regular election throughout the years, but it wasn't.
Mm.
So we had to learn how to do that, follow that process. And that first election, I won by 3 votes.
3 votes. Wow. All right, I got to get a break in. When we come back, let's talk about current Hilldale, Colorado City, and the future. with Donia Jessup right after this.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Hey, good morning, everybody. 9:37 on KDXU. I'm Andy. Donia is here, and Mello, too.
Good morning.
A couple of beautiful ladies. By the way, I love your blonde hair. It looks
thank you.
So my wife got blonde, but not that blonde, and I really like it. I'm like,
well, somebody said, "Are you really a blonde?" And I'm like a towhead. Yeah. You can even see hair when I was a little kid. I was so blonde.
Really, that light? Yeah, I had really white hair, almost white hair too when I was a kid. Really blonde hair. So, but thanks again for coming, Donia.
Thank you for having me here.
Before we talk about the city a little bit, let's talk about women and mayors. We have, of course, Nanette Billings in Hurricane. We have Michelle Randall here in St. George. I mean, we're talking about the, and there's others, but we're talking about the kind of the perception in the LDS and FLDS church that you got to have a guy ruling, right? Mm-hmm. And I don't, Michelle said something to me once. She said, you know, it's not, and you said it today, it's not about what gender I am. It's not at all about that. It's about who can do the job and who will do the job. And I admire that. And I don't think you have to be a guy, and I don't think you have to be a woman to do it. You just have to be willing, able, and have the skills necessary to do it.
That's right. That's so right. Dedication.
We need more of that. So.
Servant leadership, yes.
Yeah, for sure.
Honestly, this is a service. Mm-hmm. I was telling somebody, we're going into an election this year, and I'm going to go beg the people to let me serve them almost for free.
Yeah.
And then take all the smack talk and be blamed for everything. Yeah. What is wrong with me?
Yeah. Glutton for punishment.
Honestly. Right there. Yeah. And so, but I love what I do. I love what I do.
Well, I asked Nanette Billings once, she's the Hurricane mayor. I said, you ever think about having your job be full-time instead of part-time? And she goes, my job isn't full-time or part-time. It's all the time.
It is. Mm. Yeah. It is.
If you're the mayor, you're always the mayor.
My family, we try to have dinner, and a phone call comes through, and I say, I'm so sorry. And I am so grateful to have a partner and a family that is, take care of what you need. Mm. And they're never offended or feel like they're not getting what they need, because they know that every phone call that comes in, someone that's calling about a problem, that might not be the most important thing in my life right then, but it is the most important thing in their life.
Yeah.
And if I am actually a servant of my community, I need to make their problem my problem if that's I can help fix it.
I remember having dispatch on one time, and they're talking about, we were talking about response times for ambulances and fire trucks. And, you know, it's they said this, they said, you know, it's like most people, who cares? What's the big deal? Until that time when you need one.
Yeah.
And if you need an ambulance, need it there now, not, you know, in 18 minutes or whatever, 7 minutes, whatever it is. And it changes your perspective on things for sure. For sure. All right, let's talk about Hilldale now. Currently, what would you say is the makeup of Hilldale right now? Let's go demographics first. Ages, male, female, and religion.
Oh, wow. I didn't know I needed to bring statistics.
Just ballpark. I don't need any exact numbers.
I think we're about split 50-50 when it comes to gender. Okay, we definitely have a larger portion of teenage and youth.
A lot of young people.
Yes. But we have a lot more people moving back home or coming into the community that are young families. So we have 20 and 30-year-olds, and we have a housing crisis just like the rest of the state of Utah.
In other words, those young people can't afford to move.
They can't afford. Yeah. And so we're trying to create affordable housing. And then we have the flip side. We were talking about, you know, people who find fault with everything you do, no matter how hard you're working. Yeah. We have I'm balancing my hands back and forth for you at home can't see us. Like, we need a place to live, and then we have the other people, not in my backyard. Yeah. Like, we don't have enough water. Mm-hmm. Well, we're trying to find the water. You know, it's back and forth. But I have to ask people when they say, you got to stop building, stop creating places for people to live. I say, well, where do you want your children to live?
Yes.
Well, no, wait. I want my children to live here. Okay, that's called growth. We're not creating.
But just my children. Don't let right. other people's children
right.
come back.
Yeah. So you have to wrap your brain around when you say growth, that doesn't mean we want everybody to move out there from St. George. It means that our own children are able to purchase a home or build a home and live in the community that they want to live in. That is growth. And so that is how Hilldale is growing, is the people are moving back, or people that have never lived there are coming home, welcome home. Yeah. And we're creating a different community, but it's a beautiful community all the same.
But there is still that old group, the mm-hmm. old guard, if you will, that says, yeah, this is a closed community. We don't want all these people coming mm-hmm. in, kind of.
Well, it's not even the old guard. It's more like, oh, I hate saying this out loud, but you know how Utah says, don't let Californians move in? You know, yeah. we've heard that a bunch.
Sure.
It's more like that. It's like, we don't want everybody just moving here because we want to maintain our country living. Like, I have a 1-acre lot, and I love to go outside and drink my coffee in the morning and look at the mountains and watch the sunrise. And I don't want my lot to be a 1/3 acre
yeah.
and just have that much space. I am yeah. a country girl. Like, don't fence me in,
yeah.
you know? So the smaller the lots get, the more fenced in we are. And then we have, when I moved to Santa Clara, I moved to a home that was on a 1/4 acre, and I could hear the neighbors talking. And I was like, oh my gosh, I don't think I can do this. So when I think about if I ever left Hilldale, where would I go? Gosh, I'm in the most beautiful place there is.
Why would I leave?
Why yeah. would I leave?
Yeah.
So, but we're making, you know, there's smaller lots, smaller houses. We don't have the giant families like we used to have out there. We have more of your typical one mom, one dad, 3 kids families. My children are not having children the way I did. Just like the entire state of Utah
yeah.
or the United States. Hilldale sure. is transforming at the same rate and the same speed as the rest of America.
If I hate this word, but if you were to say, is Hilldale normal? when it comes to America, is Hilldale a normal community?
Hilldale is so normal. It's mind-blowing. I know we used to say, Hilldale is, and we do quote marks, unique. Well, Hilldale yeah. has some unique situations and some unique problems and hurdles that we've had to face and overcome, mm-hmm. and we're still working on some of that. But we're a very normal community. And I used to say, we've kicked the doors down and opened them up, and we want you to come out and take a look, go on the hikes and the biking trails and all of the things that we have to offer. And there's a lot of things we don't have to offer yet. We do have some restaurants. We've got the Blue Agave. We've got Bees that has a place to eat.
Mm-hmm.
We had our first couple of, they're not called mom and pops. What are they called? Chain. So we have a Beans and Brew and an Arctic Circle out there.
Oh, really?
Okay. And I love the mom and pops. When I go travel, I want to find that little hole in the wall that has
yeah.
that delicious food.
That everyone
That's
loves.
What I, yes.
Yeah, the locals, yeah.
Yes. And so I'm really hoping that we can get behind people that can put in restaurants that are more of the local cooking. We have a lady out there that does a lot of catering for events. Her name's Annie Fisher. Shout out, Annie Fisher. And she makes the food that we were raised on, the good hometown cooking. And
nice.
It's just incredible, incredible food. So.
Nice. Well, you know, some of the exciting things about Hilldale, tell us about the high school now. Or the school.
Oh, yeah.
Things are a little different.
Oh,
though.
Have I been here since we got our football team and got the football field in?
I don't know if you've been
process.
Here, but they're playing eight-man football right now?
Yes.
Okay. That's awesome.
Okay. That I might have not said the truth. I don't know, honestly. I would have
I
to ask my
eight,
son.
I think
it is an eight-man
yeah.
team. I'd have to ask my son. He's one of the football coaches out there. But so Washington County came in and put about $17 million into the school out
wow.
there. So the elementary, the high school, and then we added on a CTE and our first official football field. And so I'm not even going to cry right now, but
I am.
I know. Friday
Hello.
Night Lights.
No, there's no crying in radio.
Right. Friday Night Lights, first time for us. We
that
used to celebrate.
Cool.
Almost every day we were celebrating a first. And so, too, I feel so bad for our first football team because all of us adults were so excited that we had our first football team. All of the school board came out. We had officials from the state of Utah come out. All the parents showed up. And these poor kids are like, they felt so on the spot. You know how hard
yeah.
it is when
oh,
you're
yeah.
like, okay,
yeah.
get up and perform. All the big wigs showed up. And,
yeah.
and they're like, they're scared to death. And to the scoreboard said they lost. They didn't lose.
Right.
They won.
Right. Yeah. Well, just the advancement of, again, there's that word again, normalcy.
Yeah.
In
for them to get the opportunity to have a football team, to put on those jerseys and those helmets and just play. It was incredible. And I sat in those stands and cried.
Mm-hmm. That's so cool. I covered 8-man football when I was a young sports writer. People that are wondering, all they do is basically eliminate on offense the two tackles and a receiver. So you still have receivers and running backs and quarterbacks and stuff. And generally speaking, 8-man football is pretty high scoring because there's less guys to make tackles and stuff. So you have a lot of points up. Have they done 2 seasons now, or is it just 1 season?
No, they've done. I think they're in their 3rd.
3 seasons. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, and then my son is now coaching a youth football along with a couple other coaches because the kids were starting to play in freshman year.
Yeah.
And so now they're offering those sports. We're offering youth sports, and that's one of the things the city's been able to get behind. My son just let out on the youth football, and then the Southwest Coalition – here in St. George, we have a prevention coalition there in Hilldale, and they were able to get behind the youth sports and create that sense of community and teams, that sort of thing. Because when you're a part of a team, it's proven mm-hmm. over and over again, when you have that stability and the foundation of a good team, these kids don't go out and smoke and use drugs and drink alcohol. And right. So we were able to get that coalition wrapped around those youth sports, and we brought soccer, baseball, volleyball, and all basketball. These parents yeah. and kids show up, and they're from 3 years old up to 18 years old, and they're out kicking that soccer ball around, and the very whole cool. town's gathered there on a Saturday morning and just shouting and cheering these kids on. And we're also looking back at our own childhood and thinking yeah. how fun that would have been.
Yeah.
Although we had a great childhood, it's just like we're out there like, kick that ball for me too.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
so.
Yeah. All right. I got to get a commercial break in. More with Donia after this.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Hey, good morning to you, 9:52. We're talking with Donnie Jessup, the mayor of Hilldale, and Mello's here too. Hi, Mello.
Morning.
Wanted to ask you now, okay, let's go visitor perspective. I live in St. George. I want to go out to hike maybe Short Creek Canyon or something. Mm-hmm. How will I be received? Is it just like, I mean, we keep talking about normal. Is it just like any normal community if I show up to Hilldale and want to go hiking?
Yes, absolutely. You will be received very well. The trouble is that everybody heard about the secret Water Canyon hike.
Water Canyon.
And it is so crowded. But it is not crowded like Zion National Park. We are actually the backside of Zion National Park.
Okay.
So it's an incredible hike.
Yeah.
And then our Maxwell Park, we received funding from the state of Utah last year at the just over $3 million. We were able to match that with a CIB fund mm-hmm. for another $3 million. And so we've started the infrastructure and the rebuilding of Maxwell Park. And it was so fun because I brought the Senate president, Senator Adams, out and showed him our parks and showed him what we had out there. And he's like, I didn't know this existed. Like,
yeah,
this is the most beautiful crown jewel. It is incredible. And so we were able to receive those monies to get building that park again. And when you come out, it's like going anywhere, Snow Canyon.
Yeah.
You'll bump into all kinds of people, and I always invite people, stop by the town hall and say hi. I will show you the town. I will, you know, and Bee's Marketplace. That's in Arizona, Colorado City, but just an incredible place. They have this balcony that you can go out and watch the sunset, and you see Zion National Park, Pine Valley Mountain, Mount Trumbull, and it's breathtaking.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, wow, I live in the most beautiful place on this earth, and I'm so proud to be a part of this community.
Now, part of being normal, quote unquote mm-hmm. normal, you have problems that every other city is going to have. Mm-hmm. Water, infrastructure, all the things that, you know,
same
affordable
stuff,
housing.
Different town.
Yeah. So do you have all the big town stuff going on that you've got to deal with?
Every bit of it. When I go to meetings in Washington County or up at the state, we're all talking about the same things. Mm. And so we're not unique in our problems at all.
What's the biggest one, right? Is it the water?
Water.
The drought?
Especially,
mm-hmm.
Like, you know, the Water Conservancy called for a fasting and prayer day. And I was just like, bless us all. I mean, we have got to have some help. We've got to have some rains, and we've got to have more tanks to store the water when it does come. And we've been working on it for so long. It's hard for the people to see how hard we work, because things don't happen overnight. You know, they talk about the slow cogs of the government, but it's even more than that. It's like there's just not any money. And so we have to wrap our brains around how developers come into our community and how they create space for our kids to have a place to buy or rent. We need to support them in that, and they need to support us, because you can't come in and develop unless you bring water with you, or you enter into a development agreement and provide part of a tank. So now that our community is growing at the rate of speed that it is, we're looking at things different than we used to. We have to have that help. And so now we are becoming more like every other town. Development agreements for everyone that comes in, if you're going to put a development in. So, yeah, we're just as normal as everyone.
That's the reality of it, too, is you.
Except we have a stars on ours. I'm teasing Andy.
Stars. They fell off, actually.
It did fall off.
I think I'm looking at the future now. You mentioned affordable housing is a big part of things. You want kids to come back and live who, and I'm actually personally run into that where my kids, I all had to move away because, and it wasn't just affordable housing. It was the fact that the wages weren't matching the house prices. And so they actually, two of my sons went to Salt Lake area to live, not because the houses were cheaper. They were about the same, but they could make way more money up there than they could here.
I've got a son in North Carolina. I've got a son in Wisconsin. They work for a company, BZI. They're out of Cedar City, an incredible company, and they are paying high enough wages that my kids will leave the area and go way far away into, you know, different country almost from what they were raised in, because they've got to have those wages that they can build at home and come home later.
I was going to say, they'd probably rather be here, but now they can't.
Yeah.
So that's understandable. Yeah. What's the future for Donia Jessup?
Well, I'm going to go through another election this year. That's always fun. I can't stand elections, but it's good. It's good for me to check myself, make sure that I'm doing everything right, that I am representing the people, that I'm listening to the people. Being a strong, good leader requires way more listening than it does talking. And so it's good. It's good for the people to be able to have the opportunity to say, what have you done for us? What will you continue to do for us? And are you the right person to do that job still?
Those are pretty wise words. Being a strong leader requires more listening than it does talking. Mm-hmm. I like that. I should put that on the wall. I got a bunch of sayings over here on the wall.
Sometimes I say the most profound things, and I say, where did that come from?
That was kind of cool. Must have heard that somewhere.
But it's truthful. It's the truth, though.
Yeah, awesome. Donia Jessup, Hilldale City, and you guys are you welcome. Anybody wants to come out? I know we have crowds, but going to come out and check out the city and check out Water Canyon and the new football team. And I guess, well, it's basketball season now, so I'm sure they're going through basketball stuff. And
You know what? I want to really quick say.
Okay, you got 1 minute.
Okay, so the first time we took a medal at state, mm-hmm. was actually our women's wrestling team in our high school. Nice. And it was their first year. And I'm like, you go, girls. Take everything out on that other team. And they did. And they brought home the medal. It was our first medal in Hilldale, Utah. And it was the women's wrestling. So I'm pretty proud of that.
That is very cool. Now, if we can just keep the guys out of the women's sport and the women out of the men's sports, we'll be fine. Right?
Oh, we can't talk. We can't go there today.
No, I guess not. Donia, thank you so much
for coming. Thank you, Andy.
It's been a pleasure seeing you again. Ella, see you later.
Thank you.
And tomorrow, open line Friday.